Well, I hope that you have enjoyed the sermon series that we've been going through over the past several weeks, Rhythms of Rest. You know that we've been looking at these different rhythms, spiritual rhythms and practices in our lives that are intended to lead us into a deeper rest for our souls, especially in the midst of a world that pressures us into exhaustion and anxiety and stress. And my hope and prayer has been that you've even been able to practice some of these rhythms in your life over these last few weeks. Silence and stillness and solitude, Sabbath, prayer, scripture, self-examination, simplicity. And last week we talked about honoring God with our bodies. And we're going to be finishing that series today. But here is my concern. Maybe you have been trying out these rhythms in your life over the last few weeks, and hopefully they've been giving you an experience of rest and peace in your life, but I want you to know it is going to be very easy, once we move on from this series, to sort of neglect those rhythms in your life, right? It can be very easy to just fall back into the same patterns in our lives that lead us to worry and stress and exhaustion. And so the final rhythm that we're going to be talking about today is one that tries to provide a structure to hang all of the rest of these rhythms on. It's a way of thinking about our lives intentionally so that these rhythms don't just sort of evaporate after we're done with this series, but so they begin to become rooted in our lives and so that we're not just tossed around by circumstances. So the final rhythm we're going to be talking about today is called a rule of life. A rule of life. And we're going to be talking about what that means, what is a rule of life, and how this practice can be a key to sustaining all of these other rhythms that we've been talking about over the last several weeks. And it's sort of as an entry point into this idea of a rule of life, we're going to be looking at the community life of the earliest Christians, the earliest believers in Jerusalem, shortly after the day of Pentecost, and how they began to structure their lives as a community to build in rhythms into their own life as a church. So our text today is from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 42 through 47. Hear God's word to us this morning. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us now this morning of how you're wanting to really allow these rhythms we've been talking about to take root in our lives. Beyond just this series, but in a permanent sort of way. And so we pray that your word and the things we reflect on today would help move us in that direction, that you would establish this rule of life in our lives individually as a community, that these things would be true of us as we move forward, Lord, beyond this series. So bless us and give us ears to hear now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start this morning by just looking at the question, what is a rule of life? When I use that term, rule of life, what's that talking about? Well, the term rule that we see in that word, actually in this context, it derives from a Greek word that means trellis. And a trellis, for those of you who may not be familiar with that, we have a picture here that shows this is a trellis, right? It's a structure that usually is often used, especially when you're growing grapes and in vines. And so it provides a structure for those grape vines to grow up, but to be supported so that they can produce more fruit, so that they can have, you know, better wine and better grapes. And so it kind of gets the vines off the ground. And we actually talked about this concept of a rule of life. Some of you may remember this actually about a year and a half ago when we went through a series called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality that we read a book by Pastor Pete Scazzaro. And in that book, Pete Scazzaro talks about this concept of a rule of life, and he uses the image of a trellis. And this is what he says. He says, in the same way, a rule of life is a trellis that helps us abide in Christ and become more fruitful spiritually. And he says, a rule of life, very simply, is an intentional, conscious plan to keep God at the center of everything we do. So what is a rule of life? It is an intentional, conscious plan to keep God at the center of everything we do. Now, this concept of a rule of life dates back actually to the 3rd or 4th century, when men and women withdrew from society into the Egyptian desert, and they formed monastic communities. And they structured their daily life in these monastic communities around a rule of life, around certain rhythms, you know, a plan for work and for prayer and for scripture study, and they called it a rule of life. And the most well-known one of these monastic rules was written by Saint Benedict in the 6th century. But the concept where these monastic communities got this idea of a rule of life is actually found in the Bible. It's found in Scripture. We see this in the text that I read just earlier from Acts chapter 2, where the earliest Christians devoted themselves to certain practices in their lives that shaped their life together as a community. So we see it in Acts 2:42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so they, as a community, devoted themselves to these certain elements. They were going to commit themselves to regularly hearing the apostles' teaching and to fellowshipping together, the breaking of bread, and prayer. And we see that this was a daily rhythm in their lives. They did this, you know, day after day. And if you notice, a lot of those things that we see in the early church are very similar to some of the rhythms we've been talking about over the last several weeks, right? Prayer, we've talked about. We've talked about Scripture, meditating on Scripture. That was the apostles' teaching for them. Simplicity, we talked about. And one of the things that they did as a community is they shared their food and possessions with each other, right? They sold things. They lived a life of simplicity in their community. Honoring the body, they ate together. They thought about how to eat, you know, having sharing a meal together regularly. And Sabbath, though it's not in our passage, these were all devout Jews. And so they would practice the practice of Sabbath in their lives as a community as well. And so they had this communal rule of life that structured their lives in such a way that it kept God at the center, that it kept their life in Christ at the center of their lives. Now, there are a lot of ways to structure a rule of life in our lives. Our rule of life may not look exactly like the early Christians in Jerusalem, right? And some of those components are probably not very practical even in our everyday lives today. But as you think about this idea of having a structure in your life that you're intentional about how to build these rhythms into your life, there's different ways of structuring that. One way that some people talk about this is in terms of thinking about, what are some daily rhythms? What are some weekly rhythms? What are some monthly rhythms? And then maybe even some yearly rhythms. So thinking about those different elements we've talking about over the last several weeks, how can you build some of those in a daily basis? Others that might be a weekly basis. Others, you know, monthly or yearly. Other people, actually Pete Scazzaro in his book, talks about a rule of life using 4 different categories. And thinking about what are things in your life you can be intentional about in the area of prayer, in the area of rest, in the area of work and activity, and in the area of relationships. And he kind of spells out different specific things in each of those areas, and thinking about holistically, how can you keep God at the center of each of these areas of your life? Prayer and rest, and work and activity, and relationships. And now, a rule of life can be something that you might develop on your own, just kind of individually, personally. You have your own kind of personal practices. It could also be something, though, that you develop with other people. If you're married, you might want to think about how to develop certain rhythms in your life as a married couple or as a family, if you have children. Or you might think about doing this with a close friend. You know, maybe someone who is sort of a kindred spirit, and you decide we're going to kind of commit to these things together, almost in an accountability relationship. Or maybe even as a small group, you might decide, as a small group, we're going to try to embrace certain patterns and rhythms in our lives as a group. At the end of my sermon, I'm going to come back to this question of how to implement a rule of life and look at some practical suggestions for how to do that. But before we get there, I want to spend some time looking at the question, what is the value of a rule of life? You know, why should we do this? Why should we consider having this idea of a rule of life in our lives? Well, the first reason for a rule of life is that without intentionality, it is easy for these rhythms to get interrupted. Without intentionality, it's very easy for the rhythms we've been talking about to get interrupted. I think most of us probably know that it takes a while to develop a habit in your life, right? It takes practice and repetition and time for a new habit to really take hold in your life. But the way that we often approach our spiritual lives and spiritual disciplines is sometimes practicing them very sporadically and without a lot of intentionality. So, you know, we'll pray when we think of it, or we'll read the Bible every once in a while when we kind of think about it, or we'll practice a Sabbath, you know, maybe every few weeks if it seems like it fits into our schedule and we can afford to do that. And so a rule of life, it creates structure and intentionality around these rhythms so that they become regular habits in our lives, not just things that are kind of sporadic and can be very easily interrupted. I know that I'm a pastor, and I'm probably not supposed to admit this, but I have struggled with having regular rhythms of personal prayer for most of my life. That has been a struggle for me, having kind of regular rhythms of personal prayer. I've had periods of time where I have been very consistent in having regular prayer times, but almost inevitably, something happens. For some reason, it gets interrupted and it gets disrupted, and I sort of get out of that pattern in my own life. And so one of the things that I did at the end of my sabbatical this past summer was to think about how to build a better structure of prayer and personal scripture reading into my daily schedule, especially as I was heading back into work, back into ministry, when I wasn't going to just have, you know, free days over my sabbatical anymore. And so what I realized for myself is that if I don't do this immediately when I wake up, it easily gets pushed off and then sometimes just never happens. So I have to do it immediately when I wake up. And so what I've been doing is I keep two small books right next to my bed. And one of them is a yearly devotional that goes through the book of Psalms. So every morning, there's a different selection from a psalm and a little devotional and a little prayer. And the other book is a book of morning and evening prayers that are actually monthly. So you have a different morning and evening prayer for each day of the month. And what I do is when I wake up in the morning, I get out of my bed and I take those books with me. And I say, I got to sit down and I'm going to do my reading and I'm going to do my prayer. And it's the first thing that I do when I wake up, because I realize if I don't do it then, it's so easy for it to get pushed off and other things to happen in the midst of my life. And so this practice of reading that devotional, reading that prayer each morning has become a part of my rule of life, has been a part of the structure, this trellis that I'm building into my daily rhythms, that every morning I do this. And without intentionality, it wouldn't happen. It's so easy for these rhythms to get interrupted. So that's the value of having a rule of life, is sort of having a structure. I'm going to do this every day because it begins to put something into place that won't be interrupted as easily. Now, another reason for a rule of life is that a rule of life helps guard against the pressures of the surrounding culture. Throughout the series, I have talked about how each of these rhythms have barriers to them. Right? Every week we looked at the barriers to prayer, the barriers to solitude, the barriers to silence, because there are all kinds of barriers that keep us from these rhythms. And a lot of those barriers are just things built into our culture. They're things that are just present in the life that we live, the culture that we breathe, that keep us from these rhythms. So we talked about how we live in this world that is just so full of noise. You know, it's so hard to be silent and just still because we have all of this, you know, so many things that just bombard us with noise and information. We talked about how busyness and distraction can keep us from solitude and keep us from prayer. We talked about how the push that we feel in our culture toward constant productivity, we have to show that we're worth something because we're constantly producing something, that can keep us from Sabbath, from stopping everything for one day a week, right? There's this pressure in our society. We talked about how materialism and greed can keep us from simplicity, this push to have more and more and accumulate more and more in our lives. And so we live in this world that is constantly pushing us away from these rhythms, right? It is pushing us to not practice these rhythms in our lives. And so we need something that is going to keep us grounded and rooted so that we can actually push against those pressures in our culture and practice these rhythms in our daily lives. In his book, A Hidden Wholeness, the author Parker Palmer talks about farmers in the Midwest who would prepare for blizzards by tying a rope from the back door of their house out to the barn as a guide to ensure that they could safely return home if they had to go out in the blizzard out to their barn. And what would happen is that these blizzards would come quickly and fiercely and were highly dangerous. And so when a blizzard was blowing with full force, a farmer couldn't even see the end of his hand in the midst of this whiteout conditions. And so without that rope attached from the house to the barn, a farmer could get lost wandering in circles in their own backyard and never find their way back to their house. And some of them even froze to death just feet away from their own front door because they were lost in the blizzard. They needed that rope to keep them grounded, to give them stability in the midst of the blowing winds and snow, and to help them find their way back to their home. We live in a world that is like that blizzard, with winds and things just blowing us around us that push us toward hurry and distraction and busyness and anxiety and exhaustion. We live in this blizzard, and we need a rope to hold on to keep us grounded, to keep us having stability in the midst of these blowing winds around us. We need something that will bring us back home, back into God's presence regularly. And a rule of life can be that rope, can be this structure that connects us regularly to these rhythms that lead us into rest, that lead us into communion with God. And without that structure, it is just very easy to get lost in the blizzard, to get lost in the winds of our culture. And so this is the value of having a rule of life. So the last question is, how should we implement a rule of life? So if we think that there is some value in thinking intentionally about our spiritual lives and centering them around Christ, how could we implement this in our own lives? Well, the first thing is to start slow. Start slow. Don't try to implement all of these rhythms in your life at once. If you do, it probably won't work. It probably won't last. And so my encouragement to you is to take a look at this list of rhythms. We're going to put them up again. All the rhythms we've talked about each week. I want you to look at them right now. Look at this list. Silence and stillness. Solitude. Sabbath. Prayer. Scripture. Self-examination. Simplicity. Honoring the body. Now, when you look at that list, is there one of those rhythms that sort of jumps out at you? Is there one that kind of resonates with you that you realize, man, that's the one I think that I really need to start practicing in my life, or you're drawn to it in some way? And maybe you actually have several of those rhythms already present in your life, but maybe there's a new one in the ones that we've been talking about over these weeks. Maybe there's something new that sort of grabbed you and made you curious. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to start by just picking one of those practices and then work on trying to make that one stick in your life. And so maybe that is starting every morning with 2 minutes of silence and reading a devotional. And you just want to start doing that every morning. And you focus on it day after day, week after week, until it's automatic. Don't give up. If you miss a day, that's okay. Just start again the next day. But start practicing that one rhythm and just start doing it until it becomes a part of your daily rhythm. And then you might want to think about, okay, once you got one, what's another one to begin to establish into your life? Maybe it's doing a daily examine at the end of your day. We talked about this with self-examination, that maybe you set an alarm on your phone that goes off at the same time every evening around a time when you can afford to take a break from whatever you're doing in the evening. And you're going to pause for 10 or 15 minutes to just reflect on your day. And you start to think about, how is God present with me today? And what are some ways that I fell short of God's standard today? And you confess those things to God. And maybe you say, that's the rhythm that I want to focus on. I'm going to have this daily examine at the end of my day. And again, maybe you miss a day. Don't let it derail you. Set that alarm, keep that alarm set, and start it again the next day. There's all kinds of ways that, again, you might choose one of those. Maybe it's practicing a weekly Sabbath. That's the thing that you really want to try. Or doing a Lectio Divina way of reading Scripture. We talked about that practice of reading Scripture slowly over several times, four different times. Whatever it is, pick one thing and start there. Start slow. And then as you start to embrace different rhythms, you start to fill out this idea of a rule of life that's framing your days and your weeks and your months and your years. Now, the second thing that I would encourage you as you think about how to implement a rule of life, number two, is to look for ways to involve others. One of the things that we see in our passage from Acts 2 is that the believers in Jerusalem practice these rhythms together. They didn't just do it on their own. They did it together as a community. They met together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes. And the scripture reading that Lori read earlier from Deuteronomy talks about this invitation to embrace these rhythms around loving God with all of our hearts and having God's laws on our minds and doing that as a family, doing that as a community. And so we're going to have a much greater chance of sticking to our rule of life and these rhythms if we involve others in that process, if we don't just do it on our own. And so here's an example of this for my own life. Last month, I was meeting with some other pastors in our eastern region, and the topic we were talking about that day was prayer. And one of the pastors in our group asked if any of the rest of us would want to pray together at the same time every day. We weren't going to actually pray together in the same, because we're all in different places, but that we would all in our own places pray just at that same time, and that we'd know that when we pray at that time that there's other pastors praying too at that time. And so we decided that at 1:18 every day we were going to stop everything and pray. And so we all gave our cell phone numbers, and one of us, we have a group text, and one of us every time at 1:18 someone just sends off a quick text with praying hand symbol or praying for you brothers or something like that. And you know what, I have an alarm that goes off at 1:18, but there are some times where the alarm goes off and I'm in the middle of something and I silence the alarm, but then I get the text and I'm like, yeah, I want to pray with my brothers. I want to pray with those other pastors. And so it invites me into actually practicing that rhythm of stopping in the middle of the day for prayer. Look for ways to involve others as you develop your rule of life. Think about who are other people that could help encourage you, and maybe even practicing some of those rhythms together. Doing it as a family, doing it with another friend. The third thing, as we think about how to implement a rule of life, is to guard against legalism, self-righteousness, and shame. There are definitely pitfalls with this idea of a rule of life. It can be very easy to get legalistic about it, where our focus begins to be on keeping the rules. And it's all about just trying to legalistically keep these rules. And we forget about the purpose behind it, which is just to lead us into God's presence, to spend time with God. And so once you start to feel like an element in your rule of life is becoming a heavy burden or just an obligation that you have to get through, then I give you permission to just take a break from it. Stop doing it. It's okay. If it becomes a burden and an obligation, you're losing the life in it. And so maybe just consider changing elements in your rule of life or dropping elements. Pete Scazzaro says that a rule of life is a live work in progress always. It's always a work in progress. It's always something that we have to keep getting a feel for in our daily rhythms. And it might change depending on your life situation. You know, the rhythms that you have in your life as a teenager will probably change as you get into young adulthood, might change if you get married, might change if you have kids, might change if you change a different job that you're working, right? There's all kinds of, when you're retired, right? There's all kinds of things that can change, and that's okay. So guard against legalism. But also guard against self-righteousness too, because our sinful hearts, our sinful nature loves to take things that are meant for good and to make them corrupt and to make them things that we boast about in ourselves, and we start to feel superior to others because I'm keeping my rule of life, and we start to even feel superior to others other people who are not maybe doing that. God doesn't love you more if you keep a rule of life, right? Christ died for you. That is where your identity is. Your identity is not in keeping a rule of life. And so guard against developing a judgmental or self-righteous attitude as you do this. Be humble. See this as a gift that God's given you, right? Not as something that we're boasting in or beginning to feel proud about or thinking that we're better than others if we're doing it. But on the flip side, guard against shame too. Because if you start to fail at this, not keeping to your rule of life perfectly, you might just feel like a failure. Feel like you're getting bogged down in guilt and shame and you're not a good Christian. And remember, God is merciful. He forgives you. Your place before him doesn't depend upon how well you're succeeding in this. He doesn't love us less if we mess up. Jesus, only Jesus, kept a rule of life perfectly. Only he was perfect in all of these rhythms. And so we are credited with Christ's righteousness on our behalf, and we believe in Jesus. He sees us as perfectly righteous in Christ. So rest in the gospel and rest in the fact that there are no have-tos, but instead that these rhythms are things we get to do. We get to do out of what Christ has done for us as a way to enter more deeply into his presence and to have communion with him and to thank him for all that he's done for us. As I've mentioned throughout this series, my 3-month sabbatical over the summer was such a gift to me. And I, again, just want to thank you as a congregation for giving me and my family that gift. And a huge part of that gift to me was having the time to slowly embrace some of these rhythms in my own life. And for me, what it started at, and this doesn't necessarily have to be for you, but for me, what it started as was I just started keeping a journal, a daily journal, where I would write down what I was doing that day in terms of these rhythms. So I'd just start by saying, all right, this morning I took 3 minutes of silence. And then I, you know, read a morning prayer from this prayer book, and I did a Lectio Divina on Mark 2, verses 1 to 12. And I just started writing down the things I was doing each day. And as the summer progressed, I started to add different elements, you know, running for 25 minutes in the morning or reading a chapter from a book. Sometimes I'd write down some thoughts from a time of self-examination, or other times I might write out a prayer. And then as I came back from my sabbatical, as I mentioned, one of the things our family decided to do was to start practicing the Sabbath from Friday dinner to Saturday dinner. And so basically what's sort of happened in my life since June is I've been developing this rule of life in my own life. And I have to say, I haven't done any of it perfectly. I've missed days. And I've fallen off from some of the rhythms that I had going on in the summer. But I've also picked up some new ways of practicing some of these rhythms this fall. It is a work in progress, and I'm resting in God's grace in the midst of that. But I have to say that as I've embraced these rhythms in my life, it's made a difference. I just have to say that. It's made a difference in my life. There is something about waking up in the morning and looking forward to seeing what the daily psalm is and wanting to read that devotional and seeing what that morning prayer is going to be that I'm going to read. And it sort of just launches me into the day thinking about God right from the get-go. And there's something about getting that alarm and that text message at 1:18 every day that helps me to just stop what I'm doing and pause. And again, God, you're the center. Help me to stay focused on you in the middle of my day. And there's something about in the evening where I look forward to seeing what that evening prayer is that I'm going to read each evening that makes me reflect on the last day. And there's something about Friday morning as I head into the office and I have this excitement. I'm going to finish my sermon because I want to get home to my family and have a really restful Sabbath with them. And I know that I have Saturday night if I need to finish up my sermon. I can do that too. But it's actually helped me to finish my sermons a lot easier, actually, because I want to have that time, that Sabbath with my family. I don't know about you, but in the midst of this fall, with the COVID pandemic continuing to go and the contentious election season, there have been times in my life where I just need to say, I'm going to pause for 2 to 3 minutes to be silent, to breathe deeply, turn off the electronics, turn off the news, and just center on God. And there has been such life that has come into my life by practicing these rhythms. God has breathed just this new life and rest into my soul this fall. And brothers and sisters, God wants to do that for you too. He wants to breathe rest and freedom and life into your lives. He doesn't want you to be living a life that is filled with anxiety and rushing and just exhaustion. He wants to lead us into rest. I started this sermon series, my first sermon off of my sabbatical, preaching on Matthew 11, 29 to 30. And I want to read those verses to us one last time this morning. Jesus says there, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus wants us to experience his easy yoke, to walk in step with his gentle rhythms. These are rhythms for our good, for our rest. He wants to give us this trellis that we can just lean back on and see the fruit that's produced in our lives. But most of all, he just wants to be with us. "Come to me," he says. "I will give you rest." Whatever it takes to be with Jesus in your life, if it's these rhythms, if it's something else, he just wants you to spend time with him. That's what's going to give you rest for your soul. So, brothers and sisters, let's embrace these rhythms. And as we're going to sing in just a moment with our closing hymn, our closing song, that all we have is Christ. He is the one. All we are, all we have is ultimately found in him. And so let's embrace rhythms that are going to bring us more and more into Christ's presence and to knowing that Jesus Christ is our life. Let's pray. Lord, we need you, God, because we live in this world that just pressures us to put you on the back burner, that pressures us to be consumed in our thinking with the events that are happening in our world and with news and with the next thing that we need to buy and with worries that we have in our personal lives. And God, we just get so wrapped up in rushing and worrying and feeling frustrated and angry. Lord, we need you to free us from these things. We need you to just come into our lives and say, rest in me. There's rest for your soul. Lord, lead us in that way. We can't do it ourselves, but we invite you to use these rhythms, these practices as tools, as means that you might bring us more deeply into your presence, into silence and rest, and just knowing that our ultimate identity is found only in you, and we can rest there. We invite you to do that in our hearts, God. In Jesus' name, amen.